You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Program, Daryl, sometimes guests that are lined up get sick and they can't come in.
Yeah.
They try to get better, but they can't come in. We've got one of those moments. So, after much thinking, Daryl, we have decided to replay the chat with the late Father Bob McGuire, a Melbourne icon.
Oh, he was good.
Good man.
Yeah.
If there is a heaven, Bob, send us a sign. Well, you know, he was a Roman Catholic priest all his life, and he did believe. Unlike, you know, the atheist and the priest. It's a good combination. It's all based on belief, isn't it?
You know,
we believe there's no God. Father Bob McGuire believed there was a God, so he's the only one who knows because he's dead.
Yep.
Now,
it's a shame he can't let us know, though, isn't it?
Oh, he's going to let you and mine know. He did promise me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I'm waiting.
Good.
All right. So we'll repeat, Bob. We'll let you do all the hard work there, Daryl. You can find where it is on the, was it dinner set? Or is that kind of no longer? No, we don't have that anymore, do we?
Dinner set?
Yeah, the dinner set? No.
I don't know. What, you're hungry?
Yeah. Hungry for knowledge.
All right.
I'll leave it up to the experts. Off you go, Daryl.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. How art thou, Dale Bridge Dowager?
I'm doing reasonably well.
Dowager?
Yeah, she's a dowager.
Oh, darling, is she?
Apparently.
She's one of your types. She used to work at a Catholic school once.
Dowager.
Yeah.
That's nice,
isn't it? Yeah. Well, he is working on this program. Nobody else is. Now, Bob, look, this is a serious interview.
Very serious. Well, I'm lucky to be here. I could have been dead.
Yeah, I'm pissed off.
You could have been interviewing a dead person.
Well, I've done that before.
Thank you.
Now, I'm pissed off. Why did you run in the tree? Did you get out of coming here today?
No, my foot slipped and I accelerated instead of braked.
Right. Well, luckily it was a tree.
Yeah. Bang.
Bang.
Bang. See, bruises, look.
Yeah.
Poor father.
Poor father.
Bruises. Look, I'll show the ribs.
The ribs, yeah. Nothing fractured. Oh, that's a beautiful
See what
bruise.
I mean?
Yeah. No fractures?
And me. No breaks, I think.
Mm.
No, I've been scanned.
Yeah.
Will
they take you to the Alfred or...?
Alfred, I went.
Yeah, good.
Voluntarily. Oh, yeah. I hung around there all bloody night and stared at the roof, listened to the noises. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I've got to introduce you. The Dowagers just told me. Look, this is This is Father Robert. Come on, Robert.
Yes. Thank you. In the flesh.
In the flesh. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, you've done well. You know, the Alfred's the best trauma hospital.
Yeah, that's marvellous.
They didn't airlift you up there, did they?
No. And before they let me out, they gave me a piece of paper, or sent a piece of paper to my local GP to say, when you next see this person, this is what you should
do.
Check out, you see? Including driving, see, because I'm old.
That's right. You're going to have to do a retested.
I'm old, see what I mean?
You're going to have to be retested.
Oh, yeah, I've been driving since 1953.
Yeah, well, you know.
So, no accidents, no nothing.
So what year were you born?
1934. In your depression.
My depression?
Well, in
I wasn't around that depression.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
But don't forget, see, that's one of the Aussie terms. I don't know why they keep referring to... by the way, in your, because people take it these days as meaning a possessive. Do you mean my?
No, it's a thing.
It's a banter.
That's right.
See what I mean?
I was talking to a youngster today. I was talking about who's 41.
Yeah.
And I was talking about Susso. She had no idea.
I never heard of it.
What do you mean you never
heard
of Susso?
Well, they've never heard of a thing called all kind of terms, flat out like a lizard.
Yeah, like a lizard. Yep,
you know what flat out like a lizard is?
Flat out like a lizard drinking.
Yeah, thank you. See what I mean?
Yeah, she knows. She's over 40.
Yeah, many tribes and one mob.
She's from Queensland, so she knows these
things. They know, see, because they got lizards.
Yeah, lots of
A woman told me the other day in York, Queensland, they had They have frill-necked lizards.
That's right.
And another woman told me, whether she was having me on or not, said we have got tree kangaroos.
They do have tree kangaroos.
True?
True.
Well, I think Australia has tree kangaroos, not just Queensland.
Well, I don't know. I never seen a bloody...
New Guinea has tree kangaroos. We share the tree kangaroos.
Yeah.
But she's suggesting that maybe... Victoria, I don't think Victoria's
I'm going to pull you back. I'm going to pull you back to the 1930s. What's the first...
34 was nice. Because we were broke and we were poor. And we came from Glasgow like Jimmy Barnes.
Now, hang on, mate. What's your first memory?
My first memory?
Yeah, first thing you can think of.
If I know.
Well, come on. You must have...
No, because I'm more interested in the present. But I mean...
I am interested in the present.
I can make it up.
Make it up.
I remember... I woke up in the pram,
yep.
And I said, "Is this ours or did we nick it?"
Fair enough.
And see, because we were poor.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we afforded bloody prams.
This was in Glasgow.
And we certainly not in bloody Glasgow. They were born in Glasgow.
Oh, your parents?
Yes. They arrived at the station pier in 1934.
Right.
My daddy was also Glaswegian, but he was a sailor. Royal Navy in World War One, between wars, merchant navy, drunken sailor.
Yep.
You see what I mean? So I can sing verses of there were 10 green bottles hanging on the wall. I can do that, and if pressed, I can declaim the whole of the Shakespearean thing to be or not to be. That is the question.
Well, my father was a sailor, but he was on the other side.
Sober?
He was a sailor. Yeah, he was.
On the other side, German.
No, Italian.
Oh, God bless them.
Yeah,
see?
They're the ones.
We used to make jokes about the Italian name. Yeah. We know.
You know the Italian.
I won't say nothing.
No. Well, he used to be a tugboat. No, it's all right. All right. Now, so did you go to? Well, you went. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at the local Roman Catholic primary school in Armidale.
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 Yeah.
At Our Lady of Lourdes. You see what I mean? Now, if we had all day, and this was a religious radio station, we would talk about the apparition of Mary at the grotto in Lourdes.
1917, was it?
In the Pyrenees.
1917, was it? Or 15?
No. I think you're talking about another apparition.
Am I? Oh, this is
part of the Catholic grand narrative, probably in Fatima.
In Fatima, that's what I'm talking about.
Because something danced in the sky.
Yeah, something like that.
Now, you say, do you believe all that? I said, no, it's beyond belief.
Yeah.
It's imagination.
It's imagination.
See, we need things for imagination. Your program is well known throughout Australia because it's full of imagination. Oh, yes.
Imagination. So,
well, you see, the other thing is too dry and horrible.
What, imagination?
Rational discussion.
Well, rational discussion.
You see?
Can be dry and horrible, but it doesn't have to
but
be.
But imagination is what we live off imagination.
Well, you know, fake news, it's all there. That's imagination.
That's imagination,
Now,
and there's a Catholic imagination.
Getting back to you, look.
What happened, 1934?
No, I'm going to pin you down.
When I was born, they smacked me mother.
Did they? Yeah, I can imagine that.
Well, see?
Because you look so ugly. Is that
no, it wasn't the looks. It was they were concerned they could see down through the ages.
Right.
That this is a thinker activist.
And did you go to high school or did you have to go to work out the primary school?
We left near the primary school. Lovely place in the primary school because World War ended while I was there. On, you ready for more Catholic imagination?
Yeah.
The Feast of the Assumption.
Really?
When she allegedly was taken into heaven.
This is
was the end of 15th of August.
Yeah.
Ladies, boys and girls, said Reverend Mother Bloggs. We're going to thank Our Lady that World War II has ended.
Mm. And how old were you? What, 9 then or something? 11?
Born in 34. It was all over in what, 44?
45 was
all over. So we were down there. They were all away at war, of course. See, the kids don't know these days.
No.
The brother was in the Air Force. The brother-in-law was in the Army in New Guinea. And the sister, God rest her soul, got TB and died.
At the end of the war?
Just before the end of the war. She was going out with an American Marine, and I think she must have kissed him.
Right.
you know, good, pious Catholic girl.
Well, that's why
she... Now, she, because would have been a letter in those days, came in from Sydney Hospital, where this man said, I hope I'm in here with tuberculosis. I hope that it has not affected you. Yeah. And lo and behold, ladies and gentlemen, she was already dead with tuberculosis.
Really?
Very sad. Mm. And she was the sister who took me out. I got a picture at home, she and me walking, because she took me to Essendon Football Ground.
What for?
I don't know.
What, is that when you got...
To the footy, for God's sake. And off we went to the footy at Essendon Football Ground.
And you, what, you've been following Essendon ever since?
No.
I thank God for that.
Collingwood,
yeah, that's what I mean. I couldn't Collingwood. Believe you.
Well, the Essendon were Protestants.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You see what I mean? That's Freemasons.
Yeah, so why would you follow them? Why would she take you there?
She took me
there.
Did
she have a crisis of faith or something?
No, I don't know what it was. But in those days, of course, the great Dickie Reynolds, number three, we saw him. We saw... Did we see John Coleman? I could be making it up. John Coleman, the great full forward. But that was an experience. Windy Hill. And she also took me to the movies. See? So little Bobby Maguire, the youngest in the family, she got hold of me and took me, I remember, to the Astor Theatre.
The old Astor Theatre.
And I remember we saw... The Song of Bernadette, which was pious, and About Lewards. See? And for those... Are you ready?
Yep.
Across the screen. For those who believe in God, an explanation is not necessary. For those who do not believe in God, an explanation is not possible. See how you remember these things? So I saw that, and I also saw the other one. If I get through all of this, I swear to God, I will never go hungry again. Who is it?
Don't know. No idea.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the
Buddy Wind, comrade. What was her name? O'Hara.
O'Hara,
See? And the other bloke, I think, might have been the famous actor of the time.
What, Finch? Very.
No, who?
Finch?
No, the famous actor he was. I can say Robert... Taylor. Oh, yeah. These are you going into deep matters here.
Yeah, very important. Well, they may have moulded you.
Well, they're personal things.
They are personal things you remember.
You see what I mean?
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Did you go to high school?
Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto number 2 in B-flat minor.
Did you go to high school or not?
Roman Catholics, CBC St Kilda.
Oh.
Where Eddie Maguire went.
Right. But not when you were there.
Not when I was there. We were there between 48 and 53. And we lost everybody. We lost the sister who took me out, Kathleen, good night. The father, Jim Maguire, God rest his soul. And the mother, God love her. Good night.
During those 5 years?
Yep.
How did you cope with that?
Well, I'm here.
No, but... Did somebody else take on the responsibility for looking after you, or do you look after yourself?
Who was left? No. My sister had just got married to the man who came back from New Guinea, so she tried.
She tried.
But see, I was pimply and I was hormonally unbalanced.
Right.
So she said, oh, God. And then my brother, Jim, his lovely wife said, oh, Jim, really we should...
The poor
boy went to live in South Yarra with Jim and Betty and continued to go to school, if I remember rightly now, along probably the train from to the Windsor Station and then walked over to CBC St Kilda.
Yeah,
and it was good there. They were good there. I liked them. I must have got a scholarship because we were poor. I think we must have got a scholarship from Legacy Club, I reckon.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah,
they would have paid the fees.
Well, they would have.
That was very good. Thank you. And I stayed there. I enjoyed all that because it was sociable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Did you play any sports?
Oh yeah, kicked the footy.
Kicked the footy around
a bit. A pretty slow back pocket.
Right.
In those days.
Yeah.
And we were coached by the famous Alan Killigrew.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. Drove taxis, broke his back in a taxi accident, and became the coach of where? St Kilda?
Could have been.
I think it was in those days, Alan Killigrew. I remember, so he was the one who said, everybody else can go in and have the showers. Maguire, you can stay out because you haven't done enough. That's not nice.
Well, you hadn't done enough, had you? You just in the slow back pocket.
Out in dark Elmer Park. Ooh, darling, spooks. And then in we... so, an ordinary back pocket, an ordinary back pocket. Large, round, rotund, as I have been since conception, which is why they smacked me mother.
Right.
So then by the time that was all over, I think I decided, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, because I'm a squirrel.
Mm.
Did you know that?
No.
Did you notice that?
No.
I'm a squirrel who goes out after the nuts.
Mm-hmm. That's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
So in fact, Wildale. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
You've so got two in here. Fact,
we've actually got three.
I had to go out after the nuts, and at the end of that period in school, I said, "What the? I don't know what's next. I've got no family. No, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
So I said, one of my mates was going to Duntroon, and I said, because I was in the cadets.
A bit round.
Oh, I won a nice baton.
A baton?
Cadet Under Officer of the Year.
Cadet. Well,
all of that. Beautiful stuff.
Why don't you go to Duntroon, then?
I could have gone to Duntroon with me mate, Johnny Healy.
You could have been Governor General if you went to Duntroon.
Yeah, it could have been something.
Yeah.
But instead, there was another bloke there, Paul Garland, who said, by the way, I'm going down on a visit to Corpus Christi Werribee.
Mm-hmm.
You might like to come with us.
Mm.
So I went, squirrel, and I said to myself, what the 8 years? Nuts.
You were there for 8 years.
Nuts, I said to myself. You will never have to go hungry again. For 8 years, you will be, there'll be nuts.
Mm.
All right? So I said, all right, I'll go down. So I went down. Plus, at that stage, we were the Roman Catholic Church was all right. It was all right.
Yeah.
It meant well.
It meant well.
It didn't mean any harm to anybody.
Mm.
The war was over. Mm. So I said to myself, yeah, I might 8 years.
Yeah, but you must have had a calling to
it. No, well, you see, all of you pious people.
Yeah, like me.
You think there's bloody callings and things.
No, you just did
but
it.
But I think the squirrel.
For practical reasons.
Squirrel.
Just for practical reasons. Come on.
See, Jesus was a squirrel.
Yeah.
Didn't you know that?
No.
Yeah, well, he went gathering nuts.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah, but you weren't gathering nuts, you were eating
nuts. No, but his disciples.
No, but you were thinking of eating nuts 8 years down there. You said,
I don't know that you eat them, do you?
Well,
squirrels?
Well, you know,
they gather them, you see, in case. And there's nothing else to eat.
Yeah. 8 years. What, you boarded there for 8 years?
No, you didn't bother. You went back to your brother and your sister-in-law,
right,
who looked after you as a surrogate parent kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I went there in holidays, which was the kind of university-type holidays, November or December through to March.
Mm.
And then you got jobs. I worked down on the wharf. Are you ready?
Yep.
MUA, here to stay. I was the Cooper's assistant, putting the metal bands around the goddamn barrels.
The barrels. You weren't painter and docker.
No.
No painter and docker.
No, no. Seamers but we got a soft
union.
Spot.
No.
Yeah. Soft spot.
Lumpers union. No.
No, no, no.
That's a soft job.
Yeah, you know? MUA here to stay.
Yeah.
So I did a bit down there, made a couple of dollars, and also was a postie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the old days, we used to have people walking around with bags of letters.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Not riding around.
Yeah, you weren't delivering telegrams. You were just
real
stuff.
Mail,
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
With the whistle and all.
Yeah. So you didn't have to be fed.
Nah. See what I mean?
Yeah,
though. So we did a bit of that for a while in between academic sessions at Werribee.
Mm.
And at Werribee I became a beekeeper.
Right.
This will be in another episode later.
Yeah.
You see? Bob the beekeeper.
Mm.
You see? Not the ferret.
The beekeeper. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I fell in love.
You're a good beekeeper.
A good beekeeper and never got stung.
Never.
Because a bad beekeeper, you see, agitates the bees.
Right.
The thing about beekeeping, you ready? Another episode 4 this will be. will be if you handle gently the bees will not take any notice of you. But it's people who rush in. Oh, a visit. Would you like to come in and visit the beehives? Poor bugger. I remember one woman came in once and one got right up her...
nostril.
No, darling, no. Her sleeve.
Her sleeve.
See? Yeah, that's not nice. What can you do?
Poor bee. Yeah.
See? And you learn, make a note here for the next episode on beekeeping, that if you get stung by the bee, do not pull the bee sting out. Because the bee has stung you, the bee has flown away, leaving her, because they're hermaphroditic worker bees, at the end of the sting. Mm. And it keeps pulsating and putting poison in. Mm. If you squeeze it, the nail, and you scratch it out.
All right.
So that's an important thing that they're getting from your radio station. This afternoon.
So, was the college self-sufficient? Did you vegetables? You know, in Moorabbin.
Oh, yeah, they were for honey.
Yeah, for honey.
And in fact, I, who oftentimes have rushes of blood to the head, and was a chief beekeeper because I like to be in charge, being an orphan. See what I mean?
Yeah.
I convinced them to put all the hives, about 40 of them, that's the stack of boxes, onto the back of a truck. And take them all by night after the bees had come home and worked and got themselves into their little beddy-weddies.
Yeah.
And I said, take all the boxes, put them on the truck and take them to the Yuyangs.
Right.
From Werribee. Mm. Because at the Yuyangs there is a variation in the nectar. Because around, and this is, you could turn this into a joke, but don't do it because it's not nice. All around the Werribee Seminary was rape. Now, you could turn that into something.
No.
Rape being ground cover.
Yes, I know what it is.
Right? Now, there was a limit to how much you could get really out of ground cover
with the bees,
and fill tins with...
So was this the first time somebody had moved these bees?
Yes. They all went to the Yuyangs because there was what do you call it? Red gum.
Red gum, yeah.
So we got a variety back we came and there was a machine usually worked by hand, which was the extractor. The things went around and around and around and threw the honey onto the sides. Bobby McGuire, who, of course, hyperactive, said, "My darlings, why should we bloody well turn this handle and have that going around like that? Why don't we install a motor and the thing will go around more quickly?" See what I mean? And it'll all go down the sides and in through and into the tins.
Oh.
Isn't it amazing, see, the amount out of this poor little orphan's brain? You see?
Well,
in another...
Necessity.
Yeah, the squirrel.
Imagination.
Isn't it? Imagination. In fact, there's a thing now, thank God we're on a Roman Catholic broadcasting station. Are we? No.
Yeah, it is a Roman Catholic. Definitely.
There's a saying, the British had a saying they call... Because we've got all this stuff now which is virtual reality. Statues, Mary appeared in the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Saint somebody else... this is the British called it. Listen, don't panic. Because this is all what we will call the Catholic imagination.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, the clerics grab it and turn it into a doctrine. Mm. This is a doctrine. You have to believe that Mary appeared in the peach tree. No, you don't have to at all.
At the end of the 8 years at the seminary, how did you feel about going out into the world?
Oh, yes. Fortunately for us, nature took its course because... The Werribee Seminary was sold off.
Right.
Beautiful property. Beautiful property. Chernside residence. And we all went to a new joint that had... Oh, God, it was a ghastly-looking joint in comparison. Up on the top of In Glen Waverley.
Glen Waverley.
It'd now be, it then
the
became,
police academy.
Well, it changed from Corpus Christi to Corpus Christi.
Christi, that's right. Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It was all bricks, and it was all this, and it was up on top of a hill.
I assume you've gone back there to lecture the young cadets. Never. No. Well, I've lectured young cadets up there. No, how come they didn't invite you back?
No, I've never been invited. Well, they're nervous.
They're nervous of you?
Nervous of me, see?
Right.
Yeah, because if you sound a bit different, they think you are different.
Yeah.
Whereas, as I told your Archbishop on Twitter, I said, look, no disrespect to you, but I'm simply saying blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
I'm more Orthodox than the bloody Archbishop, I said.
Mm.
Now, eventually, nicely, he replied on Twitter, do not worry, Bob, because I've taken no offence. No, and I can assure you I'm not bloody offended. Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Hey?
Well,
so that's the Aussie way, you see, banter.
Yeah, he's worked it out.
See?
So where was your first placement once you were ordained?
Oh, Heidelberg.
Heidelberg.
And there's a story.
That is a story. Because tell us about what was like.
Multiple jobs to do there. No motoring car, too poor. Eventually, one of my patrons bought me a little thing, a little escort or something, a little tiny little Ford something or other.
Mm.
Now, that got me from the Heidelberg Presbytery right through to Mont Park, because part of the show was that hospital out there. What's that hospital called?
What, the Austin?
Famous, the Austin Hospital with all its paraplegic patients. Blokes who'd been working on the bloody snowy river.
Yeah, chronically
broke their backs.
Yeah, that's what they used to do.
Oh, God, it was
so
awful.
So that was part of your...
That was only part, because you then jumped in the car and drove right along Heidelberg Road to Mont Park.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You were then chaplain to the Mont Park Asylum.
Asylum, yeah.
You were also chaplain to the, the TB clinic out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the TB clinic out there. And I was saying to myself the other night, memories, the leper colony.
The leper colony.
Look at this.
So, have you been punished?
See what I mean? Well, I enjoyed all of that because, you see, I mean, I think it's like crowd bathing. The Japanese go into their forests and they call it forest bathing. Because they love it in there, as what do you call it, absorbing the natural oils.
Yeah.
Now, I've discovered that I am a bit addicted to crowd bathing because I become, absorb the essential oils of humanity.
People around you.
See what I mean?
Mm.
So I was grateful for that experience.
What was the
people you met there, because I was leaving the parish after 40 years at South Melbourne, I was walking down the aisle on the way out, and there's a bloke in a wheelchair. Ivan Rezodjevic.
Oh, I remember Ivan.
Yep. Ivan Rezodjevic.
The glass blower.
He was there.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, Ivan, I haven't seen you since 1900 and bloody
61
or 2.
It would have been Ivan, the glass blower.
Yeah. And there he was. And the other bloke I remembered the other day in the Iron Lung.
Mm.
Well, listeners might know what the Iron Lung is. What would the Iron Lung be these days?
Oh, it's just a ventilator, basically.
You couldn't breathe on your own.
That's right, it was a ventilator.
Now, he was lying there, not Ivan, but the other bloke, Coombs, I think, Aboriginal boy.
Kevin.
And it's Kevin.
Yeah.
And with the pencil, he could turn the pages of a book that he was reading. Eh?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, the human spirit at its best is indomitable.
You know, we've got something in common.
Yeah.
You won't know this, but I went to a funeral you conducted for Tony Black.
Oh,
remember the paraplegic Tony?
Oh,
yeah, just recently.
What a lovely,
He only died about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
Tony.
See?
He was one of your parishioners.
He was one of those blokes flat out. Flat out in the bed for God knows how long.
Yeah.
In fact, they had a man there, I remember. One of the nurses said to me, they're over there in that room down there. That man's been asleep for, it was weeks.
Yeah.
And induced. They were trying in those days a treatment called
would have been
deep sleep.
Yeah, deep sleep. That's right.
So they'd put you in the coma.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think they gave it up.
No, they did give up. Too many deaths.
Yeah. See,
there's an inquiry into.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just terrible.
But gee, they were the days. Thank you for reminding me of those in Heidelberg.
Yeah. What was your flock like outside these areas? Obviously, you had to deal with people living in the old Heidelberg village.
No, you didn't.
You didn't.
No, that was a special place.
That was
something. And that had a special bloke, George Marr,
right,
and his mate Kevin Mogg.
So you did. You did all.
No, we only had to do up over the hill.
Yep.
And then I can't remember, what would you say, Heidelberg Heights or something down there towards Watsonia Barracks, where I ended up as a chaplain.
What, Watsonia Barracks?
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually, because I was in your army.
Well,
so no. I spent 4 years in your army.
They must have remembered your cadet days.
Well, I joined up the army because after...
Well, as a chaplain?
Yeah.
Well, you could join up as a Roman Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. I was in... Well, there was a job, see, because the war was on, Vietnam.
Right.
And they were looking for chaplains, and I was at the end of my tether on trips, short stays at about 5 parishes.
Right.
So I said, oh, Jesus, I'm in Seymour now. Mm. And I'm not used to the bush. And I said to one of my mates, I said, they said the chaplain at Puckapunyal's leaving. Mm. Why don't you? I said, And then I decided to throw me out in the ring, and I came out as chaplain, fourth class, I think it is,
right.
Lieutenant,
obviously, yeah.
For the National Servicemen, 2RTB, 2 Recruit Training Battalion. Mm. Now I learned a lot of tricks in there as a speaker, because the job was really a thing called character training. The Americans had gone to Vietnam and Cambodia, and they did what the Americans loved doing, which is bomb the whole bloody place.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Bomb back to
the Aussies back, said, all the way with LBJ, but they said, if we go, we're not going to go and bloody we'll kill the villagers.
Mm.
See? We will go and we will protect the villagers from whoever the enemy is.
Mm.
Or they said they're the Chinese communists.
Mm.
We said, no, they're not the bloody Chinese communists, you fool. What do you call it, war? Civil war.
Civil war. You know,
civil war.
National liberation.
So we went there and did lovely things, the soldiers. And when we were part of the unit that was to what they called character training, which I've thought for years since, I wish to God I had kept all the literature
the notes,
we used. Because, in fact, it's what we need now amongst young people. You know, whatever other training there is, digital technology and all that.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's missing is character.
Yeah.
Not personality. Oh, we're overloaded with bloody personality.
Yeah, well, we've all become.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. So, look, it's
4:30. It's time, is it?
No, we haven't even started.
Oh.
I mean, I'll invite you back. I mean, we're going to need 2 hours, Father Bob.
God,
I'm sorry, mate.
2 hours.
At least. I mean, maybe.
No, it's a pleasure, though. It's a pleasure. Because I think I started here 100 years ago.
Did you win? When did you start at 3CR?
It's a terrible long time ago.
What, 76, 77? It was formed in 76.
Where didn't you start?
I started in 77.
Well, I was in the 70s because I'd just gone to
Was it here or was it down at Collingwood?
I think it was Collingwood.
Just down the road.
What was it called? There were multicultural.
Cromwell Street, 20 Cromwell Street.
What was it? Multicultural radio or something?
It's always been community.
It was lovely, though, see, because I'm a great believer in anything that keeps the public together.
Mm.
Because the elites are determined that the public are the deplorables.
Well, we are the deplorables.
You see what I mean?
That's right.
And the elites are determined. That we must do as we're told, and that's what Mr. What's-His-Name is telling us now, your Prime Minister.
Yeah, and yours.
Do as you're told.
Mr. Morris.
And Mr. Andrews, do you think?
Yeah.
Do you think? Socialist think so. Andrews?
Yeah. Socialist.
Do as you're told.
Oh, I like your imagination.
Come on,
Andrew,
arise, you workers, from your slumber. I couldn't stop singing the bloody thing after Hawkey died.
Died,
eh? I couldn't stop singing because they had that clip on the television, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of Hawkey singing, what was that, the famous anthem of the socialists?
L'Internationale.
Oh, God.
Hey? Look, I've got to do a station. It's 440, it's 3CR, 855 on your AM dial. Dale Bridge is doing all the technical work. The two show ponies, well, one show pony, Bob McGuire and the Clydesdale Joe Toscano are here.
Look at this.
And we're talking. Now, you said you're at South Melbourne for 40 years. How did you land that gig? Did they throw you out of the army?
The war ended.
Right.
In 73, they ran out of time for chaplains galore.
Right.
And I had a mate who was in, Jerry Cudmore, God love him.
Mm.
And I said, oh, look, Jerry's been to Malaysia on a tour of duty. He's been two tour of duties in Vietnam. He's a real soldier. I'm only a chocolate soldier. Mm. Now, if anybody has
Hang on, Bob. You know the chocolate soldiers won the war. If it wasn't for them, on the Kokoda Trail, remember that chocolate soldiers stood their grounds and turned back the Japanese. So if you're a chocolate soldier, you're a real soldier.
Even though Blamey suggested that they were no bloody good.
Well, who cares about Blamey?
I know.
Who cares about him? We don't care about
him. Anyway, the end of the war.
Yeah.
The end of the war, so I was looking around for something to do.
Mm.
And they said, oh, by the way, South Melbourne is available. And I said, I don't know where South Melbourne is.
You'd work at the bloody docks.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was the docks are beyond South Melbourne. South Melbourne is Emerald Hill, which was, you know, the other part of the city of Melbourne.
Oh, right, okay.
Really, it was.
Come on, I can't believe
really
it.
Really, it was.
You knew where it was.
But no, I didn't know where it was, so what I mean, because I was...
And you're a member of the MUA.
Yeah, but now. But then in those days, I would have been, you know.
The Toorak is
And the suburbanite.
Mm.
Ashburton, Ivanhoe.
Right.
The far side, Braybrook.
Braybrook. Oh, that's the far side.
Not the dark side.
The far side.
Oh, my God.
Hasn't changed.
Yeah.
I was there yesterday.
Were you there yesterday?
Yeah, hasn't changed.
Yeah. Oh, look, poor. I can see. We knew a couple, no names.
No.
But one of them was shot dead at that bloody hotel.
Yeah.
No names.
Yeah.
At, what was it, Braybrook Hotel?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, very sad. God, they were tough people.
Yeah. They had to be.
Had to be, see. Yeah. And the Roman Catholics there were particularly tough because they had their whole bloody parish plant burnt down.
Yeah.
Mm. See, the bloke, Tom Murray, God rest his soul, flash he was. So the Catholic administration said, oh, buggered. That flash.
Mm.
We'll put him out in the mud in Braybrook. Now, being flash and being put out in the mud, he said, I will teach yous to suck eggs.
Mm.
I will now build a beautiful parish with a church, a bloody school, a bloody college, a house for a bunch of high-class teaching nuns.
Mm.
I will bring I will bring Canadian brothers to teach at the new school. He created a whole thing. Now, bugger me, excuse me, the bloody place burnt down.
Mm.
Headquarters suggested,
God.
See? The whole place burned down. And poor Tommy went a bit, you know what I mean? Because he was trying to bring, what will I say, quality into an area that was known to be deprived, right, at least. There was mud everywhere, you know. Yeah. Between Braybrook and your sunshine, you know, it was just, the difference was so stark. So I enjoyed that time there because once again you had an opportunity of anything was a bonus. So we had the kids playing football out there on that oval in the mud and creative Bob, of course. The last of the big spenders. I think I got some dough from somebody to buy a bloody coffee machine. Do you remember the old coffee machine?
Do I ever? Yeah.
Turn the little knobs and, we put it in the dressing rooms. And the kids said, what the? They reckon they'd arrived.
Yeah.
Play in the mud, come in for a hot coffee.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, imagination, Bob.
Imagination. I loved all that out there. And I made a good friend out there who eventually became a painter and docker and who eventually, I think we went to the footy together later.
Mm.
And it was on one trip, we won't go into this, but one trip across the bridge from Spencer Street Station to the old Etihad, was it?
Etihad Station.
Whatever it was in the old days.
Marvel now.
And he said, the news last night, I saw on the news that new bishop in Melbourne was the bloke who put his hand down my trousers in Phillip Island. Mm. Ooh, hello. No names?
No, I can't. Well, we don't want to be sued off.
No names. No. But I thought then, I thought this was simple. Mm. I'm going to the footy.
Just going to the footy.
No, and that began a long, no names, long series, which only ended 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Oh, it's not ended yet, but I mean...
No.
So, yeah. Isn't it amazing, see, how you never know.
No.
You never know.
You never know what happens in
in
a big city. Imagination. Now, getting back to you, South Melbourne, how long were you there? 40 years, did you say?
Oh, 38.
So, if I remember correctly, you had to be dug out of that position, weren't you? Weren't you
they said you're 75, get out.
Right.
And I said,
What does that mean? It means a nursing home, does it?
No, they don't give a rat's ass.
What? They just, you've worked for 50 years for
the
church.
Yeah, get out.
Just get out.
Yeah. Well, especially if it's me, see, because I confused them.
Right. Why did you confuse them?
No, I didn't deliberately confuse them, but if you can't convince them, apparently, they get confused.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
So they, in their confusion, thought I was the enemy.
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
Because you spend most of your time with the poor.
Mm.
And I said, I guess what, folks? What? Oh, he spends the money on the poor. I said, guess what? What? We've just made $2 million. Mm.
Oh,
how? That little bit of land up in the corner of the parish property, see it over there? Yeah. The government's just given us $2 million, and they're going to build 40 units of community housing just there.
Just there.
And the money will go into your account. Now, I thought to myself, that might save the day.
No.
Wouldn't matter what you did, they wanted you out of there because you had turned the parish into the heart of the neighbourhood. Oh, what a crime that was.
What, you're telling me the church was being used not just on Sunday?
Oh, no, it was full. The whole bloody place was full.
I can't...
Look, the whole place was disgusting. Not the church building, but all around.
Yeah.
We had meals all the time. Yeah. People, you know...
Didn't you ever... down St Kilda, didn't you have a van or something you used to take down?
Oh, the vans, vans came out of there. They parked there. When I was forced to leave, really...
2012.
We had to find a place.
Mm.
All the vans had to go.
Mm.
I think we had three vans. They're still going out. What's tonight?
Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Right, I think we're feeding people at the Dorcas Street flats.
Right.
Out come the tables, out come the seats.
Mm.
It's not kind of throw a pie at them. It's sit down and we will wait on yous.
Yeah.
The working class, the underclass,
the
deplorables.
Yeah, the underclass.
Well, what are they calling them these days? The Americans are calling them the...
trash, they call them.
Yeah, and they're calling them the invisibles.
The invisibles,
I'm calling them the deletes.
The deletes.
The elites and the deletes.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, the deletes are the ones you press a button and they disappear.
You think the deletes are increasing?
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
You're on the ground there.
Oh.
Yeah.
All over the place, you know. The person who can no longer afford, Mum, can we have Macca's? No, darling, I've got to fill the car with petrol. It's that or that. It's medicine or Macca's.
Yeah.
Now, that's not nice.
No.
That's not nice. Well, we're doing a show, aren't we, on our YouTube show, an explanation. I think we tackled that.
What's your YouTube channel?
What's the YouTube channel? An explanation.
An explanation.
That man over there, Nick, he knows everything.
He knows everything.
Yeah, he's the undercover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, so tell us the site.
Yeah, tell us about the site.
Tell us about the site.
Well, we
created
with Father Bob an explanation. So that gives the people an insight to what's happening behind closed doors, but we get a chance for the people to not just have their say, but let's start speaking about topics that aren't covered.
Yeah.
So we've got it started about 6 weeks ago, an explanation, and we just started our web page on YouTube. It's under Father Bob McGuire, an explanation. And today, Father, we covered the topic of a national crisis, and we covered the issue of homelessness.
Yeah, and placelessness. You know all about that.
Yeah,
See, homelessness is one thing,
that's right,
which the elites are starting to say, oh, are people homeless?
Yeah, because they're tripping over them.
Yeah, they're coming out of the bloody doorway the other day.
We just did a 24-hour vigil on the steps last Friday.
Yes.
And within 35 metres of Parliament House, you've got people dossing down.
Of course they are.
It's just
you see people scurrying away early morning with
six
a blanket.
O'clock, 6 o'clock, they've got to scurry, they've got to get
see
out.
See what I mean?
Yeah, and you've got the police down there all the time.
No, I was saying somewhere today, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm saying somewhere today, the difference between community and society.
Yeah.
Because in society, everybody's running around trying to get the edge. The edge for themselves.
That's right.
In a community, everybody's rushing around trying to share the edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? You know, so we're not, you don't have to be a commo.
No.
But you have to be a commu.
No. You have to be a communitarian.
Look at this. See what I mean?
What did you say, Father? Commu. What's the difference?
Commu
and commo.
Yeah, well, the commo is, what I mean, arise you workers from your slumbers.
You can say communard.
See?
Communitarian.
Yeah, communitarian is what we are.
Yeah, we're communitarian.
Us anarchists.
Yeah. You describe yourself as an anarchist?
Yeah, well your Jesus was an anarchist.
Well, we know that, but nobody else seems to know that.
No, well, anarchy simply means no rules.
That's right, no rules.
We the people.
Yeah.
Are the rulers, isn't it? SPQR? Your Roman bloody empire call itself?
That's right.
The Senate and the people of the Republic of Rome.
That's right.
SPQR.
Right.
Now, that's what's missing in your Commonwealth of Australia.
That's right. The people.
You see? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We the people.
Yeah. Now, coming back to you.
Sorry.
You're under a lot of pressure at the minute, are you?
Am I under pressure? Oh, yeah, because we're broke and all that, but that's all right.
What do you mean you're broke?
Well, we having gone down there since 2012, you've got to pay rent on your bloody property. You see what I mean?
What property?
Where I'm living. I'm living in a bloody shop front.
Right.
Front desk, office.
Right.
Little joint at the back where
where
I'm living.
Yeah.
Me and me dog.
Yeah. What's your dog's name?
Oh, lovely, Franca.
Franca.
Hello, Franca.
Franca.
Yeah, she's got her own wireless.
She's got her own wireless. She's not on the net yet, is she?
Standard poodle, Franca. She's a good dog.
Good company.
So I'm down there, you're seeing this cost.
So where's this in South Melbourne?
In Albert Park.
Albert Park. What's the bloody rent?
$80,000 or something.
A year.
I think it's 80,000.
What happened to all your rich friends out there? They've all pissed you off, have they?
Well, as you know better than I do, the elites, they expect to get something out of it.
Yeah.
Now, these days, it's not enough to say you will have a warm, fuzzy feeling about making life less miserable for somebody else. Because they'll say, well, they're all leaners anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're not lifters.
Mm.
Now, we're saying, well, I think all the citizens, you see, are socially disabled, you see, and social disability is probably more deadly than a physical disability.
It's a disease.
And we've got a couple of, thank God, or thank whoever, we've got a lovely bus just come back, actually, from being fitted out this very day in Geelong, and we call it the Robo Bus.
Right.
Very big bus, and it's stacked now with digital technology devices.
Right.
And it's meant to go around from, say, housing ministry to housing ministry, or schools after hours, to help maybe people to... what do you call that? Leapfrog,
yeah.
So they're not going to be able to make up for what they haven't been able to do in the past at school.
You know, you've done,
beautiful.
You're doing the bloody state's work because the social elevator has been destroyed.
Exactly.
Kicked to the ground, the social
so
elevator.
So that Robo Bus is coming back and it's fitted out magnificently. Mm. We also have got another venture, which is, don't laugh.
I'm not going to laugh.
A camel farm.
Tell us about the camel farm. Somebody asked me to ask you about the bloody
camel farm. Yeah, the bloody
camel
farm, comrade.
What about the camel
farm? They rang up the couple and said, we've got a camel farm. we really would like to share it with some mob that would make it available to people who don't go anywhere.
Where the heck is the camel farm?
It's a... Where would you say it was? Ararat?
Ararat, is it?
Beaufort.
Oh, that's not far, Beaufort.
No, it's not far. It's an hour and a bit.
Yeah, it's not far.
And you go in through this forest.
Yeah.
You go to this and camel. You come to this camel farm, and there's, I think there's about 20 camels there.
Yeah.
And this marvellous couple, Sal and Mick Millard, who signed documents and said, "Darling, this is all yours,
right.
230 acres,
right.
And don't go." In the background, what is there? The bloody Pyrenees.
The Pyrenees.
See how the thing is tying itself up in little...
Very nice.
Oh, the Pyrenees. And maybe, she said, I told her about the bloody Pyrenees, and I told her how my ancestors in Scotland, Glasgow, part of their upwardly socially mobile commitment to the society meant that they volunteered every year to go to Lourdes in the Pyrenees and to take people down to the healing waters. And there was bloody, what do you call it, crutches and bloody wheelchairs. So, I mean, imagination, the Catholic imagination, but they were there.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, maybe we could call this camel farm Father Bob's Lourdes Sanctuary.
So what are you doing with it?
Well, for a start, we've got to wait for what? We've got to wait for all the permits.
Right.
And then we're going to have installed, hopefully, an amenities block.
Right.
So that people can go on day trips and they can have one on Bob.
Right.
In the amenities block.
Have a break.
You see what I mean?
Have a break.
Yeah. And that's going to cost, I don't know what it is, $100,000 or something.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, but it'll be a lovely... and then eventually, I think the couple who own and run the place would dearly love to have little houses. What do you call it? Tiny houses.
Tiny houses, yeah.
See, where people can come and stay
for a month
and have a break. Yeah. Now, the dark side is trembling. Because if we can get the bus on the road with the... machine, with what do you call it?
The internet.
Get it out.
Yeah,
and if we can get the bloody camel farm going, the dark side says hello.
Yeah, hello, hello, hello. What's
we
happening?
May
what's
be
on?
Losing some of the prospective darksiders to this mob.
Yeah.
So I'm pleased with that. It'll take what? If we're fortunate, I don't know, we get the money. I mean, before Billy Shorten was shafted, he said, we'll give you $200,000.
Yeah.
So instead of that, we've had a fundraising mob who, in fact, have raised about $200,000. So we've got that in the bank.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've got to pay all these bloody bills, including the rent.
Okay.
But that's all right, squirrel.
A squirrel.
Squirrel.
Well, you've got a long history of being a squirrel, so you get through it.
Yeah, I think so. Well,
do you have anything to do with the Catholic Church these days?
Here I am with the Ramas, card-carrying Roman Catholic priest.
Priest, still are. You can't be expunged.
No, because I haven't sinned or committed crime.
Crime.
I'm only a pain in the neck.
You can't be excommunicated.
No.
No.
No, because the founder of the firm was a bloody pain in the neck.
Yeah, well, they must be lining up to wait for you to die, mate.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know, but I think, look, I told him, I said, you know, I'm more orthodox. They know that, see, I'm more orthodox because I comply and conform.
Yeah.
I'm not a believer in what? In deviating from the
scriptures.
An old digger, you see.
Yeah, an old digger,
You can't deviate. That's the bloody plan.
That's the plan.
The strategy and tactics.
Yeah.
Strategy is, this is what we believe, you know. We're facing Normandy.
Yeah.
And they said, we've got to invade Normandy because otherwise the bloody Germans are coming to take France away.
No.
See? So they stood there and they said, in Montgomery, I think it was, said, well, according to the forecast, we're going tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Well, they said, sir, I don't know whether we... He said, excuse me, the forecast says
tomorrow
is the only opportunity in the near future.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Mr. Hitler is going to come down there and he's going to pinch the whole of the French army.
Yeah.
And that's the way he did it. He made the decision.
Now,
off they went.
Bob,
is it time to go?
It's time to go. Look, I'd like to invite you back in about a month.
I'd like to.
Would you like to come back in about a month?
Will I make it in a month? I think, how do I look?
You'll make it in a month.
Do you think? The vital signs?
You're still a Roman Catholic priest. I'm still a registered medical practitioner. So I reckon you'll be back in a month. So on the way out, we'll book you in.
My pleasure, Joe.
Look, it was great talking to you. You've got a lot of experience.
We need to share it
with our listeners.
Yeah, we're all in this together.
Great.
We're all in this.
What's your name, young man?
And that's Nick. Christoforou.
All right, Nick. Next time we'll... we'll pull you into the interview, all right, mate? Thank you very much,
lady.
Dale.
Thank you to our lady.
Dale.
See what I mean?
The Empress, Dowager.
Thank you.
A pleasure.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.